This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. There are awards for everything, and that includes anime. Joining me to discuss what is the Anime Awards is Senior Manager, Social Media and Editorial Programming at Crunchyroll, Miles Thomas. Thanks for joining me, Miles.
Thanks for having me. Really excited to talk today.
Before we jump into what Crunchyroll is, for people out there listening, could you explain the difference between like an anime and a cartoon? So for those out there, like an anime being Inuyasha and a cartoon being like The Little Mermaid.
Well, really the biggest difference there is country of origin. So in Japan, there's a pretty rich animation history, and the way that you say anime is anime. And so what we've done is, even though, as Americans, what we've done and what a lot of other folks have done is, even though there's not really any distinction between anime and animation broadly, between anime and cartoons, if something's country of origin is Japan, for animation, we call it anime. It seems like a meaningless distinction, but the culture there is so invested in itself and so rich and so deep and so specific that that distinction is sometimes helpful.
That is so true. And then there's the Western cartoons like The Last Airbender, and people get really passionate about that, but that's neither here nor there.
You know, it appeals to a lot of the same people, but yeah, at the end of the day, it's not anime. But that distinction also only matters so much.
Isn't that the truth? With Crunchyroll, what exactly is Crunchyroll?
Crunchyroll is a really interesting company that has been around for about like 11, 12 years now, that is the number one place in the world to watch anime. So anime is aired primarily on TV in Japan. And so what we do is we translate it and we get it up on our site within an hour or two of Japanese broadcast. And then it's in as many as 185 countries right after it airs in Japan. So if you like other streaming services like Netflix or Amazon, we've been around for a long time, longer than most of them. And we've been streaming anime for people, to millions of people, for years.
Now, this is way back. With Crunchyroll, I want to say, didn't they do like unlicensed anime from here? I can't remember how it works, but it's like you guys would fan sub it, right?
Back in the day, there's a little bit of distinction there, which is we never fan sub stuff. There was a group called Crunchyroll Fan Subs, which was a group of four moderators who fan sub stuff for the site. But yeah, when Crunchyroll first started in 2006, it was a lot like YouTube was back in the day. So everything was user uploaded, and Crunchyroll itself wasn't uploading content. It wasn't picking what content got up and down. It was a community-driven YouTube-type platform specifically for Asian media. So there was anime, there was drama, there were a lot of commercials. And then as time went on, we would take stuff down. And it was about 10 years ago in April, we got our first official simulcast with the blessing of the studio. But yeah, back in the earlier days, the site had a lot of unlicensed content. When publishers would ask us to take it down, we did. But, you know, that's certainly a part of our past that we're not necessarily proud about. But there weren't legal options for streaming at the time. Doesn't really excuse it. It was a very different internet back then.
And that's so true. But I'm guilty of that myself. And that's how I know about Crunchyroll, is because I would watch it shows on your website. And the reason why is because it just wasn't available here in the United States. And then the animes that were available, you would get three episodes per, you know, DVD. And that was like $30. So it was almost like I couldn't sustain my habit of watching anime financially. So you would go to sites like Crunchyroll, but, you know, which I always thought was really nice of you guys, that if asked, you would take it down, like the shows, or if they became licensed in the U.S., you would take them down too. So that was
That's pretty cool. Yeah, no, and I think that kind of is why Crunchyroll was able to succeed, where I've seen a lot of other bootleg operations fail. So many of them are just interested in that short-term profit. You see these ones today putting malware on their site purposely, or mining bitcoins on your computer while you're watching. And those sites, they don't comply with takedowns. Like, even if a fan sub group said, hey, we're not comfortable with having our fan sub on your site, Crunchyroll would take it down. And I think that's cool, because back in those days, I'm guilty of it myself. I was certainly pirating anime, and it was done for access. I couldn't watch a lot of the shows I wanted to any other way. And then Crunchyroll, within 2 years of its founding, became a legal alternative for all those other sites. And I think that's really wonderful. And now we're in a world where Crunchyroll operates under a revenue share model. And so half of the revenue or more goes back to the creators of the anime that you're watching. And I think that's kind of unique in the streaming space.
It really is, because I remember when you guys went legal and I was like, what is going on? I have to pay? That was really incredible. But it's also really nice, because then you can get some really good content coming to the U.S. And the other way, you're right, you're going to very shady side of the internet to get some basic cartoons. You know, it's like, and you shouldn't have to do that. Nowadays, because you guys are very legal now and you have to take precautions in what you're bringing over, how do you guys decide what comes over? Are there limitations, or is there like, hey, we really want to have this anime over here, but we can't get the license for it yet? I mean, what's the process here?
So there are certainly limitations, but our policy for the longest time has been, we want to be everything anime fans would want. So if an anime comes out in Japan, we do our damnedest to license it, no matter how big or small the audience. I think that's really important. A lot of my favorite shows are not necessarily the ones that are bringing in the subscribers or bringing in the big bucks. But if you want to serve anime fans, like I said, is just animation in another language. So to serve anime fans, you have to bring over all kinds of genres, all kinds of content. Not everyone wants to watch romance, wants to watch sports, wants to watch action, wants to watch drama. So you got to get everything. And I'm really proud that the company supports trying to get everything. Now, whether or not it does is a whole matter entirely. If an anime airs in Japan on television, chances are Crunchyroll will have it. We get a reasonable majority of new anime series that come out. But sometimes if another company has licensed it for whatever reason, whether that's they bid on it in a different way than we did, or they have a different relationship with the licensor, those sorts of things can mean that Crunchyroll won't be able to get that title. But what we're seeing these days is, if you're a full-length 23-minute anime television series, there is a very good chance that you'll be able to legally watch it in America day of or month of for free or very cheap. And Crunchyroll is kind of unique in that regard, because a lot of the pirate sites sell themselves on being free. Well, Crunchyroll is also thankfully free. There are some, you have to wait a week for new episodes. You don't get that full 1080p, but I'm really proud that we're one of the biggest, if not the biggest, subscription service in the world that has a free service still.
One of the things I've noticed, and I haven't gone through the entire Crunchyroll library, so this is just based off of the couple of anime that I've jumped into, I noticed you guys don't offer dubbed.
I wouldn't say there's a reason why, but we certainly have options for people who like dubs. So Crunchyroll's strength is we get anime at the speed of Japan. You know, if something comes out in Japan, same day you're going to be able to watch on Crunchyroll. Obviously, in that amount of time, there's not much of an opportunity to dub the titles. And there are some other companies in America who have made their business on the strength of their anime dubs, like Funimation. One of our partner products, Verve, is a service where you can watch Crunchyroll and Funimation together on the same platform for, you know, a lower fee than you would have to pay for Crunchyroll and Funimation individually. Funimation is a company that is a really, really believes in dubbing. That's kind of their business model. Ours is, we want to get what the fans want as quickly as possible. And so we're really happy to have Verve around to give people both of what they want in the anime world.
Yeah, there are times where I'm like, I can't wait for my Dragon Ball Super. And then there are other times where it's like, well, I don't want to read when I'm watching TV. So I'm kind of like, it depends on my situation of whether I want dubbed or subbed.
Absolutely. No, I'm the same way.
I didn't know this, but at Crunchyroll, you guys have your own award system. Like, what's going on here? Tell me about that.
I'm so glad you asked. The anime awards are so much fun. They're this big idea we had last year where we thought, you know, we're really trying to show the world that there's a huge anime community outside Japan, too. And we found that there wasn't really any fan awards for anime. And we thought that was kind of weird. Why not? We love anime. Why not celebrate it in a more formal way? Why not highlight some of the series that the audience thinks are really important? And so we started the Anime Awards last year, and it was a really exciting first year. We got millions of votes, and our judges picked out a great selection of nominees. We had some structural issues. It was our first time holding an award ceremony, but the results were fantastic and kind of gave a lot of attention and love to Yuri on Ice, a series that a lot of people really found dear. It's kind of one of the, every couple of years you get a big anime that really changes the anime community, and Yuri on Ice really felt like one of those anime to me. And so I was really happy to see it win Anime of the Year and a bunch of other awards. And so we had a good time with that, but we saw that the community, they had a lot of expectations for what an anime award would look like. And so this year, we're so happy to be coming back, and we've reorganized the rules and the structure of the Anime Awards. So now we have an award show system with judges I think people are going to be really proud of and really proud to be part of.
When it comes to the categories, is it your basic, like, oh, the best show, best intro? Like, how did you guys determine what categories to go into the show?
So a lot of what we did the first year was kind of around the office, kind of intuitively, what do we feel would be good categories? What do we think would be fun to highlight? For this year, we have listened to a lot of fan feedback from the first year and kind of switched up some of the categories to make more sense with what we were trying to do and also with the way that the judges pick the nominees. If we could manage to fly people from all over the world into a room to fight for a couple of days straight, that would have, you know, been really novel, and we would have, maybe we could pick different categories in that situation. But as it is, we picked categories that would make sense with the judge structure, which would make sense with the voting structure. And of course, even though we're hosting these anime awards, the shows that are eligible are not limited to what's on Crunchyroll.
Oh.
So if the anime has had any legal release in the United States in the last year, it is eligible for awards. And I think that that's fantastic. It's not like some marketing thing. It's, we're really just trying to celebrate anime.
That is really cool, because things like this is how you, you know, as a consumer, you don't really know, or a U.S. consumer, you don't really know what's popular in Japan like that, unless you're like really into it. And it's always nice to see these type of things, because it opens up a whole new world to you. Like, you know, I like my mecha anime, so, but I may like something supernatural that I wouldn't have noticed, you know, if it wasn't for a little thing like this. How do you guys determine to, like, okay, we're going to just trim the fat here. There's only five that can go into this category. I mean, how difficult is it to do that?
There are, I think, over 200 eligible anime titles for the Anime Awards. And yeah, getting it down to half a dozen per category has been a challenge. But we selected 10 independent judges who are not associated with any anime publisher or distributor, who watch a lot of anime and are seen as experts in their part of the anime community, to kind of go through the list. They picked out their favorites. They picked out who they thought were the best. And then we asked, we consolidated everyone's lists for each category and asked everyone to rank them. And the reason why we did that is we know that not everyone's going to watch all 200 shows. I watch a lot of anime, and I think I hit about half that many in 2017 myself. But not everyone's going to watch every show, but when you have a list of only 10 per category and a week to watch them, it kind of gives you an opportunity to go back and try and revisit some that you think you might be interested in for the judges, and let you get a feel for where shows should rank. And if you haven't watched a show, don't feel comfortable speaking about a show as a judge. If you leave it blank, your vote's just not counted for that show. So that means something may not be popular, but two of the judges ranked it as their number one choice for a category, it's got a pretty good chance of making it into the list of six nominees. And I think that that system's great, because it then rewards shows that might not be as popular but are of very high quality.
So how are the winners chosen? Is it done by a panel again?
So the panel will be voting. We also have, as of this Monday, our users are voting and the anime world at large is voting. Everyone can vote in the Anime Awards. Just go to theanimeawards.com. Five or six different categories are available for voting each of the next 3 weeks. And we're going to be aggregating between the judge vote and the fan vote. Each gets 50-50. And in the case, let's say there's an exact time, as unlikely as that is, the fans get the round up. But we're looking to see what the judge favorite is and what the user favorite is to kind of determine who the winners are. Last year, when it was a popular vote only, that kind of gave a little too much attention to titles that people had watched heavily. But we feel like with this system, there's still a good chance for the less popular but excellent titles that may not have gotten as much broad love but have gotten a lot of critical love will be able to win.
Yeah, I can see that. Popular shows like One Piece, Boruto, you know, all that stuff would probably overshadow something like, I don't know, Little Witch Academia or something, you know, something a little bit smaller.
Right, yeah.
And it's kind of unfair because I loved Little Witch Academia.
It's a fantastic show. I'm hoping it wins at least a few awards this time around.
Yeah, me too. Hey, do you guys ever like consider maybe like in another 5 years or maybe next year even, I don't know, having like a Hall of Fame? Because there are so many old like anime, like, I don't know, it's just like so many are running through my head right now. And it's that didn't get any love because you're right. There wasn't any award show up until like now. So there's so many shows like, I don't, Inuyasha, that always comes back to me because it was on for so long. And, you know, it was a big deal when it finally ended. And, you know, where's the love for that one, you know?
You know, I would love to see some favorites from the past brought up at Anime Awards. And hopefully we'll be able to do a little bit of that even this year. But as this continues to grow and as people get more interested in the Anime Awards, I think you will start seeing a little recognition. And actually, this isn't the first anime awards
really
in America. There was a the company ADV in, I think, 2007 had their own anime awards. I think it was called the ADV Anime Awards. And Full Metal Alchemist was the anime of the year for that one. But it was not necessarily something that the average anime fan would have seen. And it was just held at a convention, and we didn't have live streaming back then in the way that we do now. So, you know, as we continue to host Anime Awards year after year, I think it's going to be great to build up this history with the Anime Awards, and hopefully we can use that opportunity to also talk to some of the other anime that weren't covered by our own Anime Awards in the past.
When you said ADV, I thought to myself, are they still around? And then I thought of Manga Corps. Do you remember Manga Corps? That's old too.
Remember.
Oh my God. And I just got flooded with nostalgia right there. I was like, oh my God. And that's actually really funny. I think Manga Corps, they're gone. They went bankrupt a long time ago, but I think that was Illinois-based distributor. So that's a little history right there for you, right? Well, Miles, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you coming on and talking about this stuff. Just to let everybody else know, where can they go to vote?
Go to theanimeawards.com and then click on the categories that are highlighted and vote away. You can do it now. You can do it tomorrow. Make sure to vote by this Sunday if you want to hit the first round of voting, which includes things like best opening and best ending and best score, best film. Are all available for voting this week. So make sure you do that this week in preparation of next week, where we have a whole new slate of categories open for voting.
And for those who are interested in maybe just subscribing to your service, where can they go?
Crunchyroll.com. If you have a phone, download the Crunchyroll app. If you have a game console, download the Crunchyroll app there. Watch and enjoy. It's free. And if you want that premium, it's only $6.95 a month. It's a pretty affordable service to get like almost a whole day worth of anime are added to the service every single week. So you literally can't work through the catalog fast enough.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's masonverapayne.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.